Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Brown Game Strong. And today we'll be talking about the quarter life crisis and what it means for us being brown and being in our mid 20s and completely freaking out about how suddenly we're expected to be making important decisions when we don't even feel old enough to even look after ourselves, let alone decisions on getting married and having kids and things like that. So
for sure, I think the quarter life crisis, it is that internal struggle, isn't it, of finding that kind of sense of direction in life, but not knowing which direction to go in. And people are pulling you in so many different directions. You're kind of being held up against expectations from society, from family, from friends, especially I find when you are brown, or when you're like coming from a South Asian background, there are so many other expectations held of you. I think you briefly mentioned like marriage and dating. And that it's really, I find it really funny because you're way too young to be dating, but then, you should be married by the time you're 25. And that expectation has evolved, but there are still people who are getting married young, which is totally cool. Mm. But at what point is it acceptable to be dating?
There's an expectation now to be married and almost like looking towards getting married in the short-term future. And it's almost like it flips overnight. I think we may have talked about this previously, but it's almost like you're a kid and you're going to school and you're going to uni and you know, you're carrying a backpack of books around, and all of a sudden, like, you've gone from that to suddenly graduating, and then people are like, oh, so, you know, you've started working now, you've been working for a year or two, so have you thought about settling down? Yeah. Well, what does settled mean? Nobody's ever really settled. We're always trying to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
Does settled mean when you buy a house, or does it mean when you're married? Or does it mean when you have a child? Yeah. Or does it mean when you have a grandchild? Like, no one's really happy. Yeah. But I just don't think settled is the right way to explain it, because no one's kind of 100% satisfied with what they have. In South Asian community, I think settled for an Asian girl is always considered to be when she's married.
When she gets married.
Right? Yeah. And okay, let's unpack that. Why is it that suddenly like being married makes a girl settled? Is it because she starts off financially dependent on her parents when she's younger? Mm. And back in the day, women didn't typically work. They were expected to raise a family and clean the house and cook. So maybe back then settled for a female was considered to be like when she gets married and then becomes financially dependent on her husband, which was typically what used to happen. And I think working women were more out of the norm than anything back then. But now we're all working. There are so many options. Like if I, you know, decide that I want a child, but I'm not seeing anyone and I'm not married and there's no kind of hope in the near future for me to do that, then I can still choose to have a child.
Yeah.
For me, it'd be getting a dog. Like, I feel like I'd be very settled once I have a dog. So I think that in itself is sort of a contradiction nowadays.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just about looking towards the next milestone. And so for like aunties in our society, a lot of them probably don't have much going on as well, apart from just looking around at like other kids in the community and seeing like if they can matchmake, because that's probably just what keeps them entertained every day.
No, definitely. Do you feel like you have firsthand experienced that kind of the pressure of getting married and whatever as part of the quarter life crisis? Or you feel like you've managed to kind of escape that?
I think being a young professional who, you know, is, I would say, like, quite independent now, and I have the leeway to make my own decisions. I would only get married when I absolutely feel ready for it. And right now I feel like a big kid. And I have friends now, like really close friends, who are, loads of them are engaged, you know, a few are married now, and that's absolutely fine. I'm really pleased that they've found someone that keeps them happy and kind of, you know, that it's all sort of like worked out in a positive way for them, which is great. But for me, I wouldn't want to kind of succumb to societal pressure, because I just don't think it's worth me making such a big decision when I'm not 100% sure of it myself, just to keep other people satisfied.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that I'm completely against it, because I see the value in it, and I see that there are so many people who've had really fulfilling lives by following that norm. But for me personally, I just know that until I feel completely ready, I'm not going to take a step like that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
When it comes to dating, what are your views on the expectations or the taboos around that?
It kind of stems from kind of what you said earlier about it's this overnight thing where you go from being, oh, you're too young to have a boyfriend, or, you know, concentrate on your studies, et cetera, to, oh, so have you got anyone? And I've heard that so many times from aunties where in Gujarati, they'll be like, koi che? So that translates to, is there anyone? And you have to kind of read into that. And I'm always like, no, there isn't. Like, you know, I'm sure you'll hear about it when there is, kind of thing. Like, I see it quite a lot on social media where it'd be like, oh, this person's engaged. It's like, when were they even in relationships? And I understand that you want to keep it private, but it's like, I'm like, okay, so does this mean that I now need to like jump on the bandwagon as well and blah, blah, blah. And I feel like when it comes to like the quarter life crisis, like integrating the whole dating thing into it, similar to what you said, most of my female friends are either in like long-term relationships or engaged or married. And I've seen their lives change entirely, especially the ones who are married. I think part of it has like scared me a little bit, but part of me realizes that like it's not the end of the world when you do get married or when you date or whatever. I think for a while I like feared it and was like, oh my God, no, like, it's strong, independent women. And I think also it was that pressure of finding someone, almost like people from the community or aunties or uncles almost being like, oh, she must be really lonely because she's been single for a long time. But it's actually like, no, I'm figuring out myself. I'm spending time with myself so that when I do find the right person, I can then be vulnerable with them as opposed to like play games and go from person to person kind of thing. So I think a lot of the times, maybe not dating, it's like a lose-lose situation. If you're dating a lot, then it's like, oh, you know, be wary of her. Or if you're not dating, it's like, oh, well, she's lonely. Like, so for me, it's kind of been more like, oh, she's lonely, like, bichari, like, poor thing kind of thing.
But why are you a poor thing for being single and for being like living your best life?
I think because especially in the Asian community, it's like a woman's success or a woman's worth comes after she's married because, again, she's settled down. And if you're not, then it's like, oh, what is your worth kind of thing?
Yeah. No, I think that's so important to touch on, that what you said about if you're dating a lot, then, you know, it's looked down upon. But how do you find the right person without like...
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Kissing a few frogs.
Yeah.
Essentially. I think we live in a world where you can't just kind of expect to stumble upon the right person, like, on the first go. It's really hard to I mean, yeah, good on you if you found that.
But like, also so that changes as well. Like, someone who's perfect for you at the age of 21...
Yeah.
If by the time you're 26, your lives are going to be so totally different.
Yeah, like you're changing so much as a person. You're evolving and your interests are evolving. And like your career is probably changing as well, and your priorities.
Yeah.
And so I think it's very much a timing thing as well of like, okay, like someone you meet at the age of 28, like you might not like the same type of person compared to when you were 21.
Yeah.
And so there are so many people who like are in relationships from, you know, from the past like 10 years. Who decide to then break up after 10 years because they realize they've outgrown each other.
Definitely.
And you might think that's sad, but I actually think like, yes, it's sad in the short term, but actually like for your long-term happiness, it's probably right for both of you.
Yeah.
So, but I think taking it back to the crisis and to society, why is it not socially acceptable to just admit that, yes, like we're all just trying to figure it out?
And yeah.
To put it bluntly, like just because I've dated like X number of people does not make me a certain type of person.
Yeah.
It just means that I'm trying to figure it out.
And often like in the end, you'll end up actually figuring out what kind of person you want to be with or what kind of person you are. Times are changing where it's becoming more acceptable in the South Asian community to date. Because often it's funny, you'll get given, what I find so ironic is like, you'll get given numbers. Luckily, this hasn't happened to me, but the offer has arisen where, you know, mum has been like to me like, oh, this auntie said that, you know, some relative, there's a guy that just graduated, he's become a doctor, like, if you're interested. And I'm like, mum, like, we'll end up having a laugh about it because it's so ridiculous. But I'm like, oh, actually, should I be considering that? But what I'm trying to say is that numbers get passed around so much. And in that sense, you go through so many people, even if they're like first dates or you meet up for a drink or whatever. And that's completely normal because it's almost like you're flicking through this A to Z of people. But then to have been like, oh, I've actually dated so-and-so number of people. It's like, oh, you know, Yeah. What kind of, you know, like what you said, does that make you a certain type of person? Yeah. Did you find that when all your friends were settling down, did that give you that kind of internal, like, cognitive dissonance where you were like, oh, maybe I should be doing the same, blah, blah, blah?
Not at all. If anything, I feel like I feel happy for them. And I think that they've, you know, it's the right time for them.
Yeah.
For me, I just know inside me that, like, there will be a point where I'll almost feel like I'm ready to kind of start thinking about that. But right now is not the time because I just don't physically have the mental capacity for it.
Yeah.
And also I think it is a big commitment and you have to almost be like ready well in advance to make that commitment because it's not just you involved, it's other people.
Yeah.
And you have to give your best self to them as
especially
well.
Especially like in an Asian family, you're not marrying that person, you're marrying their
the family. 100%.
And then it depends on dynamics of whether you buy your own house or whether you're living with your in-laws or, you know, all these other, like you said, pressures that come with it. And also now that in society women work, right? Mm. As in it's not like what you said back in the day where you just be at home and serving the family. And we want more from our lives kind of thing. So I guess this all ties up into this. I feel like for me, I never used to feel it. I was like the exact same as you. I was like, oh, do you know what? Like, it's all good. Like, they're at different times of their, we're at different times of our lives. They're clearly ready to settle down. I'm like, oh, I couldn't think of anything worse. Literally. Yeah. And then I think last December, we were at a party and again, some auntie, the good old aunties, like came up to me and was like, oh, like maybe you should start looking because, you know, it's getting a little bit late. Or like in Gujarati, they say, have a thoruk moru thait, meaning like it's getting late. And I'm like, it's only like 8 o'clock. Like, what are you talking about? It's getting late. And that kind of got me thinking like, oh my God, wait, maybe I should, like maybe time is ticking. Like, everyone else is settling down. All my girl mates have got boyfriends or partners or whatever. And I like freaked out for a couple of weeks. And then I had to like tell myself, like, calm down. It is not the end of the world. You are still young. You do not have an expiry date. Like, come on, that's just a construct or that's just an idea that people put in your head kind of thing. And the time does come. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
Just don't freak out. Like, it's not the end of the world.
Like, you know, if you decide that, oh, like, I actually don't want to get married, like, that's not my thing.
Yeah. That too.
Needs to be talked about more openly because there are a lot of people who don't want to. And that's absolutely fine. Like, if you actually look at the definition of it, like, what marriage means is obviously it's different for different people, but some people just don't want that kind of
Level of commitment, I guess.
Yeah. And just like taking it back to, what you were saying about the aunties and like we should probably just talk to the aunties and just be like, look, auntie, like I really appreciate what you know that you care about me and like my happiness, but I'm actually very happy right now.
Yeah.
And my time will come.
But the funny thing is I said the exact same. I was like, I'm doing really well, like I'm really enjoying life. I'm like absolutely like loving life and like just spending time by myself and like really busy with work and blah blah blah. And they do get it, like once you explain it to them, they have your best interests at heart and they have kids who are a similar age.
Yes, this makes a big difference, I think, when they have kids of their own and they are able to like relate it back to our generation.
Yeah, so it's not like they're completely oblivious or that they're doing it out of spite. I think it's just they just don't know the etiquette around it. And it just kind of grinds you a little bit and then you're like, oh no, it's okay. It just makes a good story. I just feel like I'm like, funny. Yes, come at me. Like I love
I'm so like prepared for those kind of comments. I'm just like, yes.
Yeah.
And I say it in the sweetest way possible because you don't want to offend someone either because they have their own beliefs, right? And at the end of the day, it's just about being open about how you feel about things and knowing that, okay, sometimes you just have to kind of smile and nod and just be like, right, but I'm still going to do whatever I want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's probably the best way. Everyone's going to be happy that way.
And everyone I've realized everyone just wants to have a party. That's the only reason why they want you to get married.
Yeah.
Because
so true.
Literally, like one of my mum's friends was like, she's like, Asha, like, you know, you have to hurry up and get married because you have to have like a really big wedding party. You know, mum and dad have got loads of friends. You're the only child. Like, come on. And I'm like, no, just because you said that, I'm not doing that. Okay. Like, and who says you're going to get an invite kind of thing?
I have the same thing. My parents have so many friends and like relatives and I'm an only child as well. And I feel like we have so much pressure as only South Asian female daughters.
Yeah.
Because, oh my goodness, like, it's like everything's leading up to that wedding day. Yes. Or like that wedding weekend or whatever, where they're going to invite everyone from their entire lives.
Literally.
And like, I'm just like, but mom, dad, what if I don't want to get married? Yeah. Like, just a hypothetical thing. Like, what if I turn around and told you I don't want to? Like, what would you do? And then they'd be like,
still have a party. Like, yeah. We'll still have some sort of party.
Yeah, it is really cute, like the way they think of it, and obviously it completely applies to their times as well.
Yeah.
But we just, yeah, I think we all think differently now. Yeah. And also this whole crisis around like finding a South Asian boy.
Oh,
to date.
God. Yes. Yes.
Or like when you're dating, or like when you're single at the age of like say 27, 28, and you're at that like hot peak time where you need to be looking for someone. Would you specifically only date South Asian guys? Or would you be like, actually, you know what? I've had all these experiences in the past and I maybe want to try something different.
I love it. I just feel like as long as they're a good human being, like it doesn't matter what their background is. If you care about each other enough, so what? Like, and it's none of anyone else's business, because at the end of the day, they're not the ones who are going to be living with the person that you're with, or they're not going to be starting a life with them, or they're not going to be the one having kids with them or whatever. It's none of anyone else's business. I think as long as you respect each other and they have like no other real expectations of you, like it's not like, oh, when we get married that you'll have to do this or you'll have to do that. Or, you know, as long as they respect your culture and you respect theirs, who cares?
Yeah.
What background you're from.
Yeah. I think the older generation stresses a bit about like reunions, and they'll be like, oh, like what if you have to introduce them to like the whole family? Like, what are they going to say? And then, you know, everyone's going to be whispering and saying like, oh.
So what? It's like, at least you'll be the talk of the town. Like, who cares?
I love that. So sassy.
It's really funny because a similar thing, like my mum married out of her community when she met my dad, and I hear from like family friends, or I hear from like relatives, they're like, your mum was the talk of the town when she got married. And I was like, you go, girl. Like, even my nanny was like, yeah, you know, people from India would call and be like, oh, you do know that your daughter's marrying someone out of the community? And she was like, yeah, and what? I'm sure your kids are going to be doing the same in a few like years. Yes. Or in a few generations. So I'm like, yes, all pro. I'm so pro, like marrying outside of your culture or whatever.
That's so good. And I think you touch on this this idea that like once your parents have your back as well, then then you feel invincible.
Yeah.
Because you know that like they are willing to kind of like explain to everyone else who doesn't quite approve or understand the situation. And I've always kind of lived by this rule that like if my parents are okay with something I'm doing, then I feel like it's socially acceptable-ish. Yeah. Like enough for us to work with it.
And that's also, that also like comes back to like everything that you do. Mm. So like even, I guess when it comes to work, like it's just nice to know that it's not that we live for our parents, but it's, you know, they've had such a big impact on our lives that the least you can do is run it by them or just make sure that they're okay with it.
You owe that to them.
And they know you better than you know yourself kind of thing. Well, in my case, it's usually that. It's just nice knowing that your parents have got your back.
Yeah.
And even when it comes to like the quarter life crisis in general, there have been so many conversations I've had with mum and dad, and they're like, we know. And I'm like, but you just don't understand, like you just don't get it. And they're like, yes, we do, like we know you better than you know yourself, and we've been through this kind of thing.
Yeah, we underestimate them.
Oh, 100%, definitely.
Yeah, I feel like my parents, like especially, I think, yeah, no, both my parents pretty much know what I'm thinking all the time and what's going on with me, and they can tell when something's a bit off.
Yeah.
And, like I live away, like far away from them, and they still know on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just be like, oh no, but tell me what's really going on.
So on that note, do you think your quarter life crisis was enhanced having moved here?
It wasn't so much a quarter life crisis at the time, because that I feel like I'm facing now more. But at the time, I think moving was just generally just a complete shift in my life and my lifestyle. But I also knew that that's what I wanted. Like I was always working towards moving. And so so it actually, when it hit me, like I sort of was prepared for it. But I do agree that when you're living alone, suddenly like from going from, you know, having everything kind of done for you to an extent, and suddenly moving country and realizing that you need to look after yourself is such a big thing in itself. But I was quite young when I moved, so now I'm quite fortunate that I have a bit more, like, I like the stability now because I know this discomfort, I'm used to it.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, for example, living out, like, a lot of my friends live at home, and I found that financially I've found it quite tricky because I obviously have to make rent every month. And so, like, for example, when it comes to traveling or going on holidays and stuff, I have to really think, because for me, like, saving's a lot harder mm-hmm. in London. And so, yeah, that in terms of, like, finances, I find I'm going through a big, like, realization that I need to be really, like, saving up yeah. and I need to be looking after myself.
Kind of totally links to the whole, I don't know if it's an expectation or whether it's just a milestone that we want to do ourselves, but, like, things like buying a house.
Yes.
And it just, it kind of makes you question whether, is there, does, I don't know, does the quarter life crisis include the whole, like, big financial purchases? And, like, when it comes to something like buying a house, how do you get there? And how, like, I feel like there's this...
You sounded a bit American there. How'd you get there? I think with buying a house, I have friends who have bought houses recently, and they've been working for a bit longer than I have. And yeah. they've also, like, not had, like, they've not always had rent, or they've had support from other places. I don't think I know very many people who've, like, completely purely, like, done it just based on their own kind of...
So having, like, you saying that, I was reading a book about money for, like, millennials, and it says the same thing. It's like, you're pretty much not going to be able to buy a house without, she calls it BOMAD, so mm-hmm. the Bank of Mum and Dad, because, like, just...
Love the BOMAD.
just because, like, cost of living and house prices are way... They just outweigh our, like, salaries, just... Mm. so much than they used to, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that makes it even more difficult. That contributes to the quarter life crisis even more.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the salaries don't match up nowadays to like, even, like, the deposit for a house.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, there's all these other fees. And yeah, having spoken to people I know who've bought houses, I mean, I get stressed just listening
yeah.
to their stories. And I think unless you have a really, really high paying job, or you're running a business that's very lucrative, like, I think it is quite a challenge to do that. Mm-hmm. And you would have to be kind of on top of a mortgage. You need, like, some other form of support.
Yeah.
And so... I think looking at other people buying houses, again, like, similar to the marriage thing, I look at them and I feel really happy. Like, I've genuinely not felt like, oh my God, I'm, you know, falling behind or
something. Why do they have that? Why don't I?
Yeah, I've not thought that, because I just know that I'm not in a position right now to take on that responsibility.
And I think that's typical of our generation. Yeah. Like, we're all starting to recognize that it's okay if we're not there at this point in time.
Mm.
And it will happen when it happens, if it happens.
Mm.
Like, I feel a lot of people are now just choosing to rent mm-hmm. because it just facilitates the lifestyle that they want. Yeah. Like, you know, they might want to get up and move in a few years' time, or, you know, it releases so much more money to do other things and have other things.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not all just about, oh, buy a property and own your own house kind of thing. Priorities are changing, or even just your ideas of success.
And also, people don't want to be tied down to one place. So obviously, like, having that responsibility is humongous. And if you want to decide to, like, you know, get up, pack your things and move to a different country, like, that's going to be a lot harder if you have a house. And so just because other people are doing it, it should not be the only reason why you make that decision for yourself.
Yeah.
It should be something that, okay, this is an investment. Like, I want this. Or I also don't think there's anything wrong with getting help. Like, we've talked about how, like, you can't do it without help. And I'll be honest, like, personally, I used to beat myself up so much when I went to university and I saw that, you know, a lot of people were like completely independent by that point, and they were working and they were studying, and, you know, and they weren't dependent on their parents, whereas I feel like I was dependent on my parents for a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
I for that period of time, I think I beat myself up so much, and I said, like, by the time I'm 21 you know, I'm gonna cut myself off completely. And it's easier said than done. But since then, I have now learned that if you have, like, you know, the BOMAD, or if you have any other way or any other source that is helping you kind of keep going, then take that as an inspiration to actually like build something meaningful, or I don't know, just use those resources to help other people and help yourself. Like, don't just sit around doing nothing. And then I think that also would then lead you into feeling worse about yourself. Feeling like, oh my God, I'm dependent on people and I'm not doing anything useful with myself.
The way I see it is like, it's almost our parents came to this country and built a foundation for us. It's now our duty, or, you know, it's up responsibility. To us. Responsibility. For us to build on that kind of thing, and then, you know, take it from there.
And also be an asset to the people around us as well by using whatever resources we have. So I guess going back to the whole marriage thing, do you have any advice for our listeners? Of just like how to deal with the aunties?
To deal with the aunties? I think I would say just like don't listen to anyone. Like everyone has their own time of when things are going to happen. Like if you feel like you need to get or you want to get into a relationship because everyone else is, that's probably not the best thing to do. And also like forcing it is just not going to make you happy in the long term. And also like even... just because you've been in a relationship, if you are in a relationship, just because you've been in a relationship for like 5-6 years, that does not necessarily mean that you need to get married or you need to listen to everyone else being like, oh, have it. You know, you've been together for a long time. I think it's time for you to get married. Like, no, like you do you, whatever. If you don't want to get married, just don't do it kind of thing. I think after my little like panic, early, like the beginning of the year, it was like, I don't care. Like, no one is fussed. And just...
Do you think seeing engagement pictures on social media has kind of influenced the way you feel about the whole thing?
I don't know. Because I'm like, oh, and the way I see it is when if it pops up, I'm like, oh, another one bites the dust.
Yes,
like,
that's what we're all thinking, I think.
And also like, yes, there's going to be a party next year. Or yes, there's going to be a wedding next year. What am I going to wear? Blah, blah, blah. And also like now I've stopped being shocked by it. I think a couple of years ago I was like, oh, like this person's engaged, and then the group chat would like go off on one before I could even like process. But now I'm like it's just a way of life. It's normal. Like everyone's at different stages in their life.
And it is like the fact that we're seeing highlights, and that is such a big highlight that you just like, you probably see like a series of them in your feed. And that's okay, but just like remembering that that's literally like, that should not mean anything for you personally. Because everyone's on a different journey. So, that's probably what I would say is just like, being happy for other people, but kind of not forgetting your own journey and like being happy for yourself too.
Definitely.
And also celebrating like the day-to-day little wins rather than those big highlights, because we always kind of work towards the next big like milestone. But sometimes it's just like a little success in the week or like a little success in the day. Like the smallest thing, like, I don't know, I drank 2 liters of water. It's such a big success. I don't know when I last did that. So I think it just like not feeling that pressure on yourself or not putting that pressure on yourself when you see other people go through those life milestones.
Yeah. And also just like going back to what advice we'd give, like just work on yourself, like spend time by yourself. Like I think maybe being only children, we're just so used to that. And like, if anything, I love hanging out by myself. I don't know if that sounds weird.
No.
But yeah, as in sure. Just you learn so much about yourself. And I think if you can learn and enjoy your own company, then it will be so much nicer when you do meet that person, because sometimes people get into relationships to run from themselves or because they feel like they can't be alone. And I always really feel like being in a relationship is about experiencing things together as two people, as opposed to being like, okay, now we're like joined at the hip and we've got to do everything together and like we're just one person. So just spend time alone
and have that self that you can bring to the table when you do come get into a relationship. So like spending that time, like if like when you're single, to actually, or not even when you're single, even if you're in a relationship, like make sure you're spending that time on yourself to build your own like skill set and build who you are as a person and how you fit in to society and what you contribute. And then when you do meet that right person, I think that will complement their skill set and what they've been working on in their own time, because you're both very independent people that come together. It's not like you should run around looking for someone to fulfill you.
Yeah.
Sounds cliche, but
totally agree.
Yeah. Cool. On that note, I feel like we've become agony aunts. Like, this is what you should do to be successful. Neither of us are doing, like, yeah, I feel like we're successful.
Literally. But yeah, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. And we'll be back soon with the next episode.
Yep. And make sure to tune in on all of our channels.
Of course.
And yeah, see you next time.
Bye.